Okay, my friends, we're beginning our meeting. This is the night that we focus on air. The first night on Thursday, we focused on earth. Last night, we focused on water, liquid that is. We all drank some grape juice together. And this night, we focused on air, and Curtis made an interesting observation that we just finished with karaoke, and that involves air. Mm-hmm. You breathe in air, and you sing out, and it's a very air thing to do. A good point there, Curtis.
Thank you.
So that's a good start. Karaoke puts us in a good state of mind for dealing and meditating on air. Anybody got any comments on the symbolism of air? Yeah, they have ancient teachings teach about four elements: earth, water, air, and fire.
Might be related to breath.
Yeah, related to breath.
Mind.
Spirit.
Right, air is related to mind, especially in astrology. Mm-hmm. The air signs are related to mind. And we're entering an air sign now, which is the age of what?
Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Let's sing that song, shall we?
Aquarius. Oh, yeah, we should have sang that song tonight.
Aquarius.
You are recorded.
Aquarius in the second house.
You are recorded.
And you are aligned with Mars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great song. We should have sang that tonight. Because we're entering an air sign, which is the sign of Aquarius, and we're leaving a water sign. Now, just because we're leaving Pisces doesn't mean that Pisces was a big failure. After all, it produced the Christ and Jesus, which showed us what the perfect and ideal man is. And the ideal is, putting the ideal before human consciousness is not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. But a lot of fanatics turned it into a bad thing, and they felt that their belief was the ideal and they needed to fight for it and prevent any conflicting ideals to exist. So one idealism fought against another idealism during the age of Aquarius, which I'm sure wasn't...
Pisces.
I mean, during the age of Pisces, I'm sorry. Which I'm sure wasn't something condoned by the Christ. But it was probably expected. After all, you look at any organization that has an inspired beginning, it's just a matter of time before, when the initiate leaves, that is taken over by a bunch of people that are interested in power, and then they corrupt the organization. And it happens time and time again. We see that happening with many businesses. Some businesses are really good the first few years when they get started and going, and they're innovative, and then they're taken over by a new generation that are just seeking for power, and they begin to corrupt it. And it happens time and time again. And then it happens with religions. It happens with different organizations. You have benevolent organizations surface, like, say, March of Dimes. They fulfilled their purpose. They pretty much conquered polio. But they thought, well, we can't cease to exist. So they switched over to other things. And so once a goal is reached, an organization does not want to exist. It wants to keep its point of power. So it will morph into something else. And generally what it morphs into is not nearly this benevolent as what it came from. And it's like I talk about in book 4 of the Immortal, the Eternal Words, like the game of Chinese checkers. Has anyone ever played that game before?
I have.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play. When I played it, it starts out, somebody picks a phrase, and they whisper it in the ear of the guy next to him, and then the guy next to him whispers.
That's not Chinese whispers.
Oh, Chinese whispers. Chinese whispers. And then he whispers in the ear of the next guy next to him, and it really works well when you got about 12 people or so. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets to the final person, maybe it starts out the cow jumped over the moon, and by the time it gets to the 12th person, it's like the blue moon is made of cheese or something like that. It's just totally corrupted, and it makes everybody in the group laugh. When I played it, every time we went around, the same thing happened. There was a big corruption of the original statement. So this is the way it is with society everything gets corrupted. And it's one of the purposes of the molecular concept is to eliminate this principle of corruption by correction. Because in the molecular relationship and the government of it, how it works, is the people can make corrections as we go along, so no corruption will occur, theoretically. I mean, there will be people that will probably try to corrupt it and seek for power, even if we're successful. The way it works is all the leadership in the molecular relationship is produced by election. And then the leader can be challenged at any time that the people figure he's not doing his job. And this forces him to do his job. And so with a regular organization, you get a leader, he's stuck in there, and the leader decides who the new leader is going to be. Whereas the leadership is decided from the bottom up. And then when the leader gets authority, he has the authority to make decisions or to call for counsel in making decisions. And he has to listen to the voice of the people under him, or else he can be challenged and replaced. So normally he will seek for counsel unless it's some decision that's kind of a small one that doesn't that the group would just assume somebody else makes anyway. It's like if you have a mayor of a city, for instance. You know, I would just assume other people make the decisions. I don't care about a lot of decisions the mayor makes and his council makes, you know. But in the molecular relationship, if the people trust the leader, then he can go ahead and make various decisions. But on a big decision that affects the group, he will naturally involve the group in the decision. But if he doesn't, then he's in danger of being replaced. So it's a natural form of correction, because it doesn't allow the leader to get astray from the will of the people that's in the group. That'll be different than any organization ever created before, because you think of any organization that's been created in the past, it has always been corrupted after a generation or two. After one generation, it gets corrupted a certain amount. It was like the foundation of the United States. When it was first created, it had many inspired qualities. Since that time, there's been tremendous corruption from people that think they know better than the founding fathers, and they make changes that's contrary to free will. Like, there's all kinds of people now challenging the First Amendment, which is free speech. The First Amendment, free speech, is really crucial to the freedom of not only the United States, but of the world. And it set the standard. And many people are trying to destroy that. The goal of the molecular relationship is to be able to create something good and keep the good principles in it from being corrupted. For instance, if the United States Constitution was molecular, then it would be virtually impossible to corrupt free speech. But right now, free speech is being corrupted. There's about 27% of college students, according to surveys, feel that if there's speech they do not like, there should be prosecution of some type against people making such speech. And the colleges are really being infiltrated to try and destroy the First Amendment. But this corruption happens everywhere. So when the molecular relationship is established, it will be important to establish it in such a way that it cannot be corrupted. Okay, that said, we'll move on, and unless anyone has any comments or questions they want to make.
Yeah, what about the Second Amendment as well?
Well, all the amendments, anything that's good and supports freedom should be beyond corruption, but that's just an example of something that most people, just about everybody, agreed upon. Now, the Second Amendment is something that's a little more controversial, but free speech is something in the past that everybody agreed upon, and it was crucial to our survival. But even this, something that everybody agreed upon a generation or two ago, is now being corrupted. If free speech can be corrupted, then anything can be. Those that want to corrupt free speech should be able to be replaced, but we have a very difficult time replacing them. And we should have an easy time replacing the people that corrupt something that is benevolent for the group or for society. Okay, anything else?
Is hate speech benevolent?
It's not benevolent, but it's good to be able to have all speech, because one person's hate speech is another person's love speech. So you got to let all speech be accepted. Not believed in, but accepted is the wrong word, but you have to let all speech be have people have freedom to say what they think. If people can't say what they think, then if you have someone governing speech, then you have people saying what's right and what's wrong, what's hateful, what's loving. It will turn into something then like North Korea, where everybody's afraid to say anything.
But that's happening right now with everything has to be politically correct. I mean, you have to be so careful with everything you can say, or, you know, especially if you're going to go into politics at any time, you know, anything you said in the past 100 years of your life, they will find it, pick it, and kick you out.
Yeah.
The very term hate speech is subjective, so it assumes objectiveness, but it's not. It's very subjective.
Well, what hate speech turns out to be is speech that people hate. And it could be something very loving, but they don't want to hear it, so they hate it, so it's their hate speech. Virtually, when you see what the media calls hate speech, it is speech that the media does not like. And it could be something very sensible and very productive. For instance, they didn't like anyone that said they didn't want to get the vaccine. They outlawed that speech. It was outlawed on your Facebook, YouTube,
Twitter
before Musk got in there. It was considered derogatory speech, hate speech. They give it all kinds of different labels. Now they're finding that speech that they condemned, a lot of them, was accurate. The physicians that talked about the different things about ivermectin being a good medicine, ivermectin and zinc, for instance, they're finding out that, you know, that is being proven to be correct. And nobody comes forth with any apology for trying to suppress it. course.
I think there was a study, and I was telling Annie, it was in Denmark, I think. That's where I remember now. It came out of Denmark that ivermectin is effective. And I was surprised. I go, okay.
Is that what Trump was promoting?
No, Trump never promoted ivermectin.
It was the other doctors.
Hydroxy. Joe Rogan.
Well, he made some odd statements like that was misinterpreted, like drinking, what was it?
Bleach.
Yeah.
They refused him. Hey, everybody just drink a bunch of bleach.
He didn't say bleach.
That's not what he said at all.
He didn't say bleach. He didn't say bleach.
They twisted his words on that, but I guess bleach can destroy the virus, but he was just thinking out loud that maybe some research in how you use it to destroy the virus, and then they accused him of advising us to drink bleach.
I wonder if anybody did.
Some people said they.
I think they found one person that did it, and then they made a really big deal about it.
Someone said they died.
There's always out of 300 million people, one person. Yeah. They can always find one or two people that do something crazy.
Or say they did.
Yeah.
Okay. The air is symbolic of the mind, and the mind will bring in the Aquarian age. And right now we have a big conflict between mind and emotion. But the funny thing is, the ones that are on the side of emotion think that they're the more sensible ones. They claim to be on the side of science, which is not really accurate. Just claiming to be on the side of science doesn't mean you're on the side of logic and reason. But those on the side of logic and reason are facing off against those that just go on their feelings. They feel that you shouldn't be able to say certain things, and so they advocate for that. On the side of reason, we think, well, I don't like what a lot of people say either, but I think they should have the right to say it. Like the old statement, I may not like what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. That was attributed to Voltaire, but apparently he didn't really say it. Somebody else did before him. That's a statement that many people on both parties used to quote all the time. But now you don't have very many people quoting that anymore. But we have to allow all speech except, you know, shouting fire in a crowded room type of thing. But all views, expressing all views, even views that we don't agree with. When we try to suppress those views, once you give power to people to suppress those views, even if they're views that you don't like and you agree with everything going on, sooner or later that'll be turned. So that power will sooner or later switch so that you will be affected also. So you've got to allow all views to be represented, even views of, you know, crazy people or people that think the earth is flat or whatever, you know, even people that are obviously wrong. We have to let their views out and counter them with reason. And that's the beauty of the Aquarian age. Is when there's falsehoods out there, we will counter them with reason and mind. And reason and mind will prevail. Right now we have the conflict of emotion and mind, and emotion is fighting for its dominance with everything it's got. It's a little bit like Bruce Willis in Die Hard, just fighting with everything he got to survive, you know. And that's the way emotion is right now. They want to keep their dominance. Right now we have that conflict, and the emotional level is still dominant over the mind, but it's slowly moving. And the Tibetan says the age of Aquarius will pretty much be fully in another, well, from now, another 100 to 150 years from now. it will take for the mind to completely dominate over the emotions.
But yeah, but you look at Trump, whether you like Trump or not, you know, and he may say things that get him in trouble, but he's not ruled by his emotions. And I think that's the conflict between those in office that oppose him, is they're emotionally polarized and he's mental.
Well, they're really emotionally affected by everything he says. But the mental people look at what he says and say, well, you know, he wasn't politically correct or anything, but
he didn't really hurt anybody. He got things done.
The media makes a really big deal about things that are just politically incorrect.